The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Jillian's visit to the doctor while pregnant changed their life trajectory.
Well, we knew the test was positive for something that was life-altering, permanent, possibly deadly, but we didn't know what. And we had to go in to get the official results. And the doctor said to us, well, it's not good news. And it's normally at times like these people want to talk about their options.
The gift of the unexpected, next on Life Today.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Do you ever actually believe that God can use the unexpected, hard, painful moments in your life to do something good with that? Like, do you see good in that? Do you find God in those moments, or do you run away? Well, today's guest has definitely been through it. She's gone through the unexpected. And I'm going to talk to her today about how do you get through that stuff? Can we actually find the beautiful in the broken? Jillian Benfield, thank you for being here with us. Your book, The Gift of the Unexpected. I love the subtitle, Discovering Who You Were Meant to Be When Life Goes Off Plan. I've been there. I know that pain. I know that story. I know the unexpected. But many people know my story. Not many know yours. So can you take us back just a little bit and give us a little look into your life?
Yeah, I'll take you back to, 2014, middle of the year.
Okay.
I had just taken a year off of TV news. My husband was, he had just graduated dental school, and he took an Air Force scholarship, and the Air Force sent us across the country to Las Vegas, Nevada to live for 11 months. So it was kind of the perfect time for me to take off.
Yeah.
I just had my first child, and I thought I was going to go right back to TV news.
Okay.
And then I get a phone call from my husband. It's May 8th. And he lets me know that we are moving. Our next assignment is going to be in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Okay.
And there is not even a Target in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Oh, no.
Let alone a TV news station.
Wow. Okay.
And I was just crushed. I mean, because at the time, my identity was so attached to what I did that I didn't know who I was anymore. Who was I going to be without this part of myself?
Yeah.
Well, that same day, I had this little whisper that told me to take a pregnancy test. And we were not in the business of trying. Our daughter had just turned a year old. And lo and behold, it was positive. And I thought, okay, God, okay. You want me to be a stay-at-home mom? I get it. Okay. You know, I thought I had it all figured out. Well, fast forward a couple months later, and we get to our new hometown of Alamogordo, New Mexico. And 8 days after we arrive, we still have boxes everywhere and that sort of thing. I go in for my 20-week ultrasound.
Okay.
And after the ultrasound tech got done, a nurse walked in the room and said, well, everything must look great because the doctor's not here. And as soon as she said those words, he walked in and he explained to us that there were several markers on the ultrasound that indicated that our unborn son had a higher chance of having a trisomy.
Okay.
And I said, okay, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah. And he said, it means that your child has a higher chance of having a condition like Down syndrome. Mm. And I just remember my back breaking out in fire and the words, I can't be a special need mom. I can't be a special needs mom. Just going over and over again in my head, like a skipping CD. Because of course I couldn't, because that was definitely not a part of the plan.
Right.
So then we got some blood work done and a couple days goes by. And I get a phone call from my husband, and he said, the doctor called me. It's not good. I'm coming home. And I just remember my heavy 20-week pregnant body just falling to our new kitchen tiled floor. And my mom happened to be there. She came and sat beside me, and I just said, this doesn't feel real. This doesn't feel real. This doesn't feel real. Finally, my husband comes home, and I can tell he's going to get sick, and I follow him into the bathroom. And he did get sick, and after he was done, he laid his head on my chest, and I just remember his hot tears just rolling down my shirt. We had both just turned 27 years old, and we were just in shock that something like that could happen to us. Well, we knew the test was positive for something, something that was life-altering, permanent, possibly deadly, but we didn't know what. Mm. And we had to go in to get the official results. And the doctor said to us, well, it's not good news. Your child has a 99.9% chance of having Down syndrome. And it's normally at times like these, people want to talk about their options.
Wow.
I said, what options?
Right.
And he said, option one is you terminate the pregnancy. Mm. Option two is you continue your pregnancy with a high-risk doctor. And I said, okay, like trying to back up. Like, can you just tell us about Down syndrome? Like, what does this mean for his life? And he seemed surprised by the question. And he said, oh, well, at worst, he'll never be able to feed himself. And at best, he'll mop the floors of a fast food restaurant one day. But don't worry, don't worry. You don't have to be a hero. You can have the baby here and we can keep him comfortable, but we don't have to do anything drastic to save his life.
Mm. My goodness.
So in other words, we could have our child to keep our consciences clean, but we could let him die of natural causes.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
So the doctor really led me to believe that our child would not have a life worth living.
Mm-hmm.
So I grieved as if a death had taken place.
Mm.
But it would take me a long time to realize that, yes, that grief was spurred on by the doctor, but it was so deep and so heavy because my outlook was more in line with the doctor's than I wanted to admit.
Interesting.
And I had a lot of unlearning and learning to do.
I definitely want to hear about that, but I'm curious about where you and your husband were sort of spiritually. What was your background going into this?
Mm-hmm. So I was a relatively new Christian, I would say. Mm-hmm. I grew up going to a very fundamentalist church upbringing, and everything was like, who's in, who's out. It was very fear-based, very hell-based, that sort of thing. And so I really walked away from faith at 11 years old. And then I met my husband, and I was intrigued by his faith and started slowly, you know, coming to faith over time. And what I would say for me, you know, everybody's faith story is different. And for some people, it's like an instant moment and they just, you know, they were a believer. For me, I had to investigate Christianity, like the journalist that I was, if that makes sense, in order to get there. And so I had just come out of like this long 9-month intensive Bible study where our lead pastor was leading it. And that's when I really came to faith. So this probably happened like a year after that time frame. Right.
So you had to unlearn some things about your faith in order to find true faith.
Yes.
Just like you had to unlearn some things about Down syndrome.
Yes, I would say that. And then unlearning, you know, I thought I had kind of like unraveled a lot of that faith from my past. But then when the unexpected hit, you know, when so many of us in this country anyway, you know, we might be born with some privilege and can make our own choices and kind of lead us on the path we want to go. And then something hits that's totally out of nowhere. And you have to reevaluate a lot. And what I realized was that old faith from my childhood really came creeping up. And that I thought God was punishing me or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And
so
I had to unlearn all over again.
Wow, definitely that God is punishing me. I think so many of us struggle with that kind of feeling. I feel abandoned. I've done something wrong. When something unexpected happens in our lives, that's not part of the plan, you know? And how do you navigate through something like that when you feel like God especially has abandoned me?
Yeah.
And I can't, God, this is heavy. I cannot handle what I think you've dealt me.
Yeah.
I can't do this. How did you get to that? Did it take you a while to process through that? I've not been abandoned, that this is actually a gift that God has given me, and it's going to change my life. Has that been a process to get to that point and to see the beautiful in something that you felt was going to change your life for the bad forever?
Yeah. So what I like to say, what I was unknowingly doing at the time, that grief was so heavy, I had really no choice but to sit under it. We have such pressure in our Western Christian culture, especially, to overcome the unexpected.
Yeah.
And what I was unknowingly doing at the time was, instead of overcoming, I was undergoing it. And I have
what do you mean by that?
Yes, okay. Yeah. So if you Google image word search the word overcome, you're going to see people standing atop mountains with their arms stretched overhead in this stance that screams victory. That's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
If you Google image search the word undergo, what you're going to find is somebody that's about to undergo surgery. And what I'm saying to anyone who's experiencing the unexpected is that we're not supposed to rush, skip over the hard parts, skip over the darkness, get to that mountaintop as quickly as possible. Really, it's more like that picture of undergoing surgery. We have to admit we need help, seek out that help, and dig into those deep, dark places to confront the pain and start taking it by piece. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what happens after that person wakes up from surgery? They have to pursue healing. Mm. That's what undergoing is like. And so for me, with my unexpected circumstances, undergoing meant unlearning a lot of the bad ideas I had about success and worth. And yes, it was because of this Down syndrome diagnosis, but I think no matter what your unexpected circumstance can be, I think we all kind of go through that a little bit because we thought life was heading this one way where we had this amount of control. And then something knocks you off that course, and maybe that path gets, you get blown off course and you have to reevaluate your life. And so I realized that my grief was so heavy about my son's diagnosis, because I believed my worth was attached to my resume.
Interesting. Mm.
So if he was going to have this life where he could not maybe earn the things that I had worked hard to earn in my life and achieve this success that me and my husband had been working to achieve, then how was he going to live a successful and therefore worthy life? Because I had tied those things together.
That's
They're not together. You know, success is very different in God's eyes than it is in the world's eyes, right? And so that was a lot of my undergoing process, was unlearning those things.
So what did you tell the doctor?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was such a traumatic experience that I had told my mom what happened after, and then I forgot about it. And it wasn't until she reminded me like 2 weeks later where it all came flooding back. So, yeah.
So obviously you had the child.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's an unexpected circumstance. And you talk about in your book an unexpected transformation. Mm-hmm. Where's the gift part come in?
So what I would say is that the unexpected, I believe, is one of the greatest pathways to transformation because it teaches us, if we're willing to undergo it, who we are and who we are not, and hopefully teaches us a little bit of who God is and who God is not. And I think with this process of undergoing, that we can really become the fullest version of ourselves. You know, transformation is an ongoing process, but I think, man, there's no better way to spur on that process than the unexpected. So our circumstances, you know, I've come to look at my circumstances or my son's diagnosis very differently now than I did back then. You know, I was ableist. Ableism is the idea that disability is inferior and something that needs to be fixed. I no longer hold that viewpoint, but I think when we start to really look at what is paining us and why, we get to unravel things about ourselves that we need to unravel and things about God's nature that maybe have been tied up with our culture.
Like what? I mean, I understand a fundamentalist background, which all sorts of baggage. but what did you learn about God one-on-one through this process?
I think that I thought somehow with our Western church culture was like tied up with the prosperity gospel. Like, and I didn't even realize it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if I did good, that I would get what I wanted or, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, I would say one of the biggest lessons that I learned through all of this was God promises resurrection. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't just mean about what happens to us at the end of our lives, that we, you know, we go on to the next life, but he offers resurrection in and out and over again in this life. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what your unexpected circumstances are, I think so many of us may want to hit the rewind button and go back to our old lives, go back to what it once was.
Yes.
That's not what God promises.
Yeah.
But what God does promise is resurrection. So he will take what seems dead and he can bring new life out of that. We had the bright spot of Alamogordo when we lived there was White Sands National Monument.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this part in the book where I talk about it, because if you just look at it, it just looks like a beautiful piece of scenery, but it's the product of death and resurrection. It used to be covered by an entire giant lake, and the lake is no longer, the lake's never coming back. But it left behind these gypsum deposits, and then through the whipping winds and, you know, these deposits broke down. And what we have now, through the unexpected climate and all of that, that we have something beautiful. And that's what God does in our lives too, is that he takes dead things and breathes new life into them.
He does. I mean, it's the rebuilding, it's the restoring. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people, Jillian, that feel right at this moment that they're walking in the unexpected. They can't see God. They can't feel God. They've been given a diagnosis. They've been told something really hard. You're going through a tough divorce, and they can't find hope. They don't see the other side. And I think your story, it brings hope. It brings hope to me in such a way that to know that God is a resurrector. He will bring new life. He will rebuild. He promises these things. And for anybody that is today going through anything in your life right now, you have to trust and believe that God will bring back to life areas in your life that you thought were dead and forever gone. He can make beautiful out of the broken in your life and give you something brand new to hope for and to live for. You have to trust that he'll put those pieces back together and bring new life and new joy. In fact, there's something I want to show you right now that brings great joy to so many people around the world. Watch this.
As the world celebrates the birth of Jesus, this Christmas, Life Outreach International is also celebrating nearly two decades of spreading this good news in a very special way. With shoes. Yes, shoes. We, along with our mission partners located throughout the world, have provided more than 2.5 million children with a gift of shoes. Children who in many instances have never had a new pair of shoes.
We all celebrate different holidays around the world, but a holiday that's pretty common to most of us is Christmas. And that's what it feels like here today. It feels like Christmas for us because we're getting to do one of the most incredible things, and that is to bless these children with a pair of shoes.
It's because of friends like you that we have been able to reach into remote areas every year, providing the gift of shoes and sharing the good news of Jesus. This year, we want to once again see children's faces light up with smiles as they receive a new pair of shoes. Unfortunately, there are children who can't smile because they suffer from a condition known as cleft lip or cleft palate. The good news is our annual Christmas Smiles Outreach allows us the opportunity to minister to some of the world's poorest children who have no hope of correcting their condition with surgery.
But thanks to James and Betty and the friends of Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery.
Life Outreach has partners who work with some of the world's most skilled surgeons who have performed thousands of corrective surgeries for children. These surgeries not only protect them from health-threatening issues, but provides the gift that lasts a lifetime, the gift of a smile. So this Christmas season, as you gather with loved ones and friends to celebrate the birth of Jesus, demonstrate His love for others by providing shoes and smiles to children in need.
I love this part of our ministry so much, Randy. There's nothing more exciting for me in all the travels that I've done truly with Life Outreach, where I get to sit with these kids and put a brand new pair of shoes on their feet, some of them for the very first time. It's so much fun, and they're so happy about it. Do you know that we have given away over 2.5 million pairs of shoes to children around the world?
Well, and you know, it's not just 2.5 million children, rather, that have been impacted by this, because we go out later and we see that these children are passing them down. They outgrow.
Yes.
Kids outgrow shoes.
Yes, they do.
But these are so durable that they last for years and years and years, and they're not just a nice thing. And in a lot of cases, they do prevent some very serious diseases. And so it's, yes, it's wonderful to give a good gift, but it's also wonderful to do something that is improving a child's health, protecting their feet, and something that can be handed down. And the amazing thing is that this is so economical. It is so affordable. Mm-hmm. How affordable? Let me tell you. 10 children this Christmas can receive a brand new pair of shoes like this one for $36, your gift of $36 today. That'll give 10 children brand new shoes. Amazing. A gift of $72 would give 20 children a pair of brand new shoes. And many of you, most of you, I would say, could give $180, which will provide shoes for 50 children. Mm. What a great thing. Yes, it's early, but we're talking about Christmas because we need to be ready. We got people in the field ready to go. We got children in need. We need to get the shoes in the right place. So we're asking you to join with us now to call or write and make the best gift you can. Whatever you can do, whatever God puts on your heart to do. Some of you could do more than shoes. You could do a smile. And Tammy, I know you know what amazing thing that is.
It's so amazing. It changes the lives of these children forever. $500 is all it takes to do a corrective surgery. There's so many today that can do that, can just say, let me do that. I want to be a blessing. I want to change the life of this little one. Yeah. Go online, make a call to us today, and be a blessing to these children. Let's help change their lives forever.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted green crystal shoes ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring three of Life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries. With this gift, you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Boy, it's a great day here in South Sudan as we come and we get to bring Christmas shoes to these precious children. I want to say thank you to all those who've helped us in the past, but I want you to realize that there's still a great need, an opportunity for us to put a little love and a little Christmas into each of these children's lives. And remember, it's not just shoes that we give at Christmas time, it's also the smiles. Around the world, kids that are in need of cleft palate surgeries or kids that are in need of shoes, will be able to have a little extra something of joy this Christmas because of your giving. And I want to say thank you to you for your giving, for your caring, and for loving. And I just want to let you know that it's so important for the shoes that we're giving them. And there's so many other children that we want to give shoes to. And we're going to reach their villages too. And it's all because you cared enough to give. So God bless you and thank you so much.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone right now. Make the best gift you can. Let's make this Christmas so special for children. And Jillian, I really appreciate you sharing the gift of your message with people. Is there anything that you want to just leave people with to encourage them, whatever they're going through?
Yeah, I think something that when I was undergoing the unexpected that really stood out to me in Scripture was that when Jesus comes back from the dead, when he comes back resurrected, he comes back in such a different form that his followers don't recognize him. But how do we recognize him? His scars. Mm. And I think his scars tell us something about our own. And it's that who we are in this life matters, and it will carry on to the next life. And all of us, no matter who we are, the unexpected will hit our lives in some manner eventually if we're alive long enough.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's hope in that he can take our scars if we're willing to go and give the unexpected to him and walk alongside him through the unexpected, that they can help us live into the holiest version of ourselves, that version that God dreamed up long ago when he dreamed up the visions of you and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there's hope in that yeah. this can be set to purpose. You can become more empathetic. You might have causes that become important to you that were never on your radar before the unexpected.
Yeah. And yeah, so true. I have scars because I healed.
Yeah.
A good sign there, a sign of healing.
Yes.
So good. Appreciate her.
I do. And it's, I mean, I have scars too. They're there. But the question I love that you asked, like, how do you want your scars to show?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jillian, for your heart, for your life, the journey you've traveled. How do you want your scars to show today? What is God doing in your life? And how is he asking you to be brave with the unexpected in your life right now? We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience. Tomorrow, the trials of life can wear us down. Grace Wabuki-Klein gives encouragement and a fresh perspective not to just survive, but flourish. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.